You're listening to the Talk of Fame Network on SB Nation Radio.
Our next guest, Daryl Johnson, spent 11 Thanksgivings in Dallas playing football games for the Cowboys. Daryl won 3 Super Bowl rings as the Pro Bowl blocking back for the NFL's all-time leading rusher, Emmitt Smith. Daryl is now a color commentator for NFL games on Fox. So 18 years after his retirement, he's still spending his Sunday afternoons in NFL stadiums. We've invited Daryl to visit with us this holiday week and about Thanksgiving football, the Cowboys, and the fullback position. Daryl Johnson, welcome to the show.
Happy Thanksgiving, Rick.
Appreciate it, Daryl. Hey, how special was it for you to play an NFL game on Thanksgiving, especially in Dallas?
Oh, gosh, it was one of those things that you grew up as a kid watching. So to actually be able to be a part of that was unbelievable. And, you know, I take it even down a little bit farther. I tell people, you know, one of the most intimidating things, but one of the more exciting things was the first time I walked down the tunnel at Texas Stadium and came out on the field, because that was something that you always saw on television. So it was amazing. And, you know, people ask me about the Super Bowl and, you know, what was that like? I'm like, you know, my dad and I, the family grew up watching the Super Bowl Sunday. You know, to actually be out on the field and competing and playing in those games. And Thanksgiving was very similar to that. It was, we were an athletic family. We were, you know, I was a football player. My little brother was a football player. You know, we worked our Thanksgiving dinner, you know, around watching the games on Thanksgiving Day. So, you know, for me to actually be a part of those games was absolutely amazing.
Well, Daryl, as you know, you guys were 7-4 in Thanksgiving games when you were playing. What was your favorite memory from those games? Is there a game that sticks out?
Well, there's a couple. You know, obviously, you know, the comeback with Jason Garrett on Thanksgiving Day was one of the more memorable ones. It was. You know, an amazing performance by Jason, you know, to come back in the second half. And, you know, there's a funny story that comes out of that. And, you know, as your third-string quarterback is getting an opportunity to play on that big stage that we just talked about, and gosh, with, you know, Jason's family background, you know, football on Thanksgiving is definitely going to be a part of that. So here he is getting to start on a Thanksgiving Day game, you know, at Texas Stadium against the Green Bay Packers. You know, how much better does it get? And you find yourself behind at halftime, and he comes out and has the great second half. And there's a funny story that, you know, he'll tell people, and he goes, my wife Bill told me, you know, if things don't go the way they're going, just make sure you know where 88 is, and just throw it up to 88 down the field. And that's kind of how he got everything jump started in the second half. So, you know, thank goodness for Bill and getting that information out to him. So.
Hey, Daryl, like Ron said, you didn't win every Thanksgiving, and there were a few memorable moments in defeat. There was the Leon Lett ice game against Miami in 1993, and of course the Randy Moss game against Minnesota in 1998. What do you recall about those contests?
The Dolphin one in the snow was absolutely crazy, because, you know, we were at practice. I think it was the day before. It was 65 degrees out. Yeah. And people were coming by the hotel and saying, hey, you know, everybody needs to, you know, move their schedule up a little bit. You know, we've got some weather that's moved in. And we're like, oh, what is it doing, raining? And you walk outside, it's not even snowing. It's like little ice balls that have fallen. It was the most bizarre weather game I've really ever been involved in. You know, it was great for me, because you couldn't really throw the ball down the field, because you couldn't look back to track the ball, because these little ice pellets would, you know, hit you in the face. So, you know, Troy's just dumping the ball off all day long. And, you know, I had 10 catches that day. It was awesome. And then, you know, you're at the end of the game, and, you know, the conditions are horrible, so you know there's not a great chance to have the field goal made, and we actually block it, and it goes to the other side. And I'm in the tunnel. You know, we're in the tunnel on our way in. You can see the play happening, and I know everybody will say, well, you know, why did Leon Lett do that? And I can tell you that Joe Avizzano, God rest his soul, we went over that play thousands and thousands of times, and I know that that in the moment of battle that Leon just had a short circuit and he saw two Dolphins running after the football and thinking that they could recover it. And he makes contact with it and missed the ball live again. And we've got an untimed play for another field goal chance, and we lose the game. And I've never really had that flow of emotion. We had the Arizona Detroit game earlier this year. With the receiver that was down before he went in, and we had the 10-second runoff, game over. So the Lions go from winning that game to losing that game, in a matter of seconds, and we had that same experience. And I can tell you right now, we all wanted Miami to beat the Bills in the championship game that year because we definitely wanted another shot at the Miami Dolphins. and then the Minnesota game was just it was tough, but from a respect standpoint, to watch Randy Moss do what he did that day, there's been a few performances at Texas Stadium that were memorable to me from an opponent's perspective. And one was a Monday Night Football game watching Barry Sanders and Emmitt Smith do it out. And I think Barry went for about 196 that night. That was the other one, just watching Randy Moss be virtually uncoverable, out on that football field, and just, how dynamic he was with his body style, his leaping ability, his catch radius. It was something that nobody had really seen before. So it was kind of, for us, we're witnessing an emergence of a rising star here firsthand. He's killing us right now, but wow, pretty cool to watch this guy.
It must be hard sometimes to admire that when the guy's slitting your throat at the same time.
When you can't stop him.
when most folks are sitting down carving up the turkey in the 1990s, you were playing mostly at Texas Stadium. So how did you observe and when did you observe Thanksgiving with your own family?
Oh, we would do it the next day. We would actually go out to dinner that night at a local restaurant that we had a friend that owned, and we'd always pop in there on the way home from the game. And then the next day, we would do our traditional Thanksgiving dinner. So we didn't miss out. We just delayed it by a day. It's the one holiday that really is just about family. And I think, Christmas creeps into Thanksgiving more and more every year, it seems. It's one of those holidays where there's really nothing else there but, getting together with family and having a nice meal and sharing memories. So it was definitely something that we never wanted to give up. And so for us, it was just a question of how do we navigate that. So there were many seasons where my parents were down here, and we would do a traditional, Thanksgiving on Friday. We figured out somehow we were going to get our turkey. On Friday.
Darryl, let me stay with your family for a second. The greatest lacrosse player in history was said to be Jim Brown, who played both his college football and lacrosse at Syracuse, your alma mater. So how did you let your son, Aiden, sign a national letter of intent to play college lacrosse at Michigan, not Syracuse?
I know. Can you believe it? I'm really proud of him. I'm really happy for him because Michigan has always been one of his reach schools as he kind of looked at what opportunities lacrosse might open up for him. His goal is to get into the Ross Business School, and I think he thought that door had closed on him. They had given out all their scholarships to the long pole players in the class of 2018, but they had a coaching change, so there were some adjustments with some of the commits that they had done prior, and a couple of slots opened up, and Syracuse was in the mix. I will give it to Leland Rogers, the defensive coach. He fought long and hard for Aiden. He liked Aiden. We had several conversations with him, and he said he reminded him of his own son, who was a late bloomer as a football player. And one of the times we were up at Syracuse at one of the prospect camps, Leland was actually with his son down at Tuscaloosa at a camp at Alabama. So he got what happens to some of the kids who are late bloomers through the recruiting process. They're late additions, and you got to make sure. And I think Leland saw a lot of that in Aiden. He was a late bloomer. Now he's 6'4", 205 pounds. playing a little long pole position. But we just couldn't get John Desto on board with it. I understand that. And I think that Aiden was, a little concerned about going to Syracuse because, as you mentioned, it's one of the top lacrosse schools in the country. They do carry a big roster. It's very competitive practices. And I think the biggest thing is when he sat down with Kevin Connery, he's the new coach at Michigan, there was an instant connection there. His personality is very similar to his high school coach's personality. Very fortunate to have been coached for 4 years by Chris Saran, who is another Syracuse grad, yeah. And actually won a national championship in 95 and was the MVP of the championship Final Four. Between Chris and I, we couldn't even get Aiden up to Syracuse. So I guess he's supposed to be at Michigan. So I never get in the way of God's will. So for whatever reason, he wanted me to wear the maize and blue instead of the orange and blue.
Yeah. Well, Darryl is an old lacrosse player. Had I known this, I would have got him to UMass in a hurry. Because let me tell you, we need the help. We need the help. We're not what we used to be.
He's got a little sister coming out, so if the girls' program needs a little help, she wants to get back northeast.
All right, I'll keep my eye on that. That'd be pretty good. Now, you spent 11 seasons playing the NFL, and now you're in your 18th season as a color commentator on NFL games. So when does your economics degree from Syracuse come into play in your life, or do you have it sidelined?
I'm trying to figure, some post-career stuff to do. You wonder how much longer you can stay in one component of the NFL life. Obviously the player one is defined by short parameters. The TV one has been a great opportunity, but we're getting to that point where we've been doing it for so long that they want a new influx of the younger generation coming in. So I'm probably going to need to start leaning on that economics degree here pretty soon. As some of these younger guys retire and maybe consider coming into the world of broadcasting. So it's funny how it happened. I was actually going to classes, trying to figure out. I'd left engineering, which was a huge mistake on my part, trying to carry 20 hours of electrical engineering credits at a Division I football program back in the 80s was not a very time sensitive thing or smart thing to do. So I moved into the business school and was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And I was actually taking economics on Black Monday in 1987. So our teacher really kind of closed the books and it kind of taught us everything that happened. So for me, it really clicked. And it was funny because my roommate and I were in the same class, and we became the tutors for economics for all the athletes that were in the business school that struggled with economics, because this guy took an opportunity that was there, and it really clarified, the fundamentals of what you had to know in macro and microeconomics. So I think it was timing. It was another one of those situations where, time and a place in your life, and things just kind of come together. And at that point, I knew I wasn't going to be an accounting major. I wasn't going to be a finance major. I wasn't going to be a marketing major. I was going to be an economics major. And really enjoyed the curriculum, the remainder of my time there. So.
Hey, Darryl, thanks for stopping by, and have the happiest and healthiest of Thanksgivings.
Thank you, guys. You too. Take care.
Thanks,
have a great Thanksgiving.
That was Darryl Johnson. You're listening to the Talk of Fame Network.